are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The role of grandparents in families. This is what we're talking about this morning with Elder Lloyd Tadira joining us on the line. We're talking about grandparents, and we know that grandparents are not just babysitters or storytellers, although they're great for all of that, but they are also legacy builders. From faith-filled prayers to wisdom-soaked advice, the older generation holds power to shape the next. When families embrace the beauty of cross-generational connection, everyone benefits. So let's honor the gray-haired guides in our lives. My elder, good morning and welcome to the program.
A very good morning to you, Honi. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be back on air. Good morning, our listeners.
Absolutely. It's always a blessing speaking with you, my elder. And it's an interesting subject here. I was just talking to the listeners earlier about how by the time I realized what wisdom was in my grandparents, they were long gone by then. So it's such a blessing to know that, you know, the older people who can still be a part of our families have so much still to contribute. And it's important to have them in our families. Can you speak to us about what unique spiritual and emotional roles that grandparents play in families today?
Right. There's one truth I'm always... can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent. There's one truth I've experienced in my life, which I'm always alluding to when I present on the value of experience. You know, my own mother, she turns 75. She actually turned 75 in February of this year.
Okay.
Right? But she has had 6 kids. You know, I'm number 4 of 6. Mm-hmm. And I do have a privilege that all 6 of us are still surviving.
Mm.
But between the 6 of us, our ages are total 283 years.
Wow.
You understand?
Uh-huh.
So she is only 75,
yes.
But she does have 283 years of parenting experience.
Wow.
Now that's quite some experience.
Yeah.
You know, firstly, she does have 183 years of parenting experience, and she is 75 years of age herself, which makes her life experience around 358 years.
Sure.
Yeah. So I do have in this one individual, gray head as she might be, but having about 358 years of experience. Now, that's a unique experience that she really has there. So to answer your question, Debongi, unique indeed, their experience does it. They've really seen a lot. Of what goes in life. And I would also want to bring this verse in Job 12, verse 12, whereby Job says that with the ancient is wisdom.
Mm.
You see, there is really no substitute to experience. So the aged amongst us really do have so much a spiritual and emotional role to play in our lives. You know, I also love the story of Jacob when he was blessing Joseph's sons. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 48, verse 17 to verse 19, you know, we do not read of Joseph getting angry at anyone before, you know, even when his brothers threw him down the pit. The Bible does not record. But when Jacob was blessing his sons, he switched his hands between the older and the younger. The Bible says that Joseph was agitated at that, but his father told him that, I know what I saw. I think that pretty much said the age amongst us, they really know what they are doing. So let's give their space within our families.
Beautiful. Now, how does the Bible highlight the impact of elders and older generations?
The book of Titus, in verse 3, 4, thereabout, up until verse 8, gives the role of the aged amongst us. You know, we're living in the dot-com era, whereby everything has gone. You know, we've hit some good advancements in the various facets to our lives. But when we go back to the timeless word of God, which are with us not, this is the instruction to us, pretty much instructive in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4 up to verse 8, that we do have a role of being students to those who are of age. The Bible would have that we give much respect to those of our older generations. Even Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says that we should stand up before the aged. Of course, not just literally standing up, but we should give way to their ways. Of course, in a way that would dovetail with God's revelation to us. So The Bible would have us sit at the feet of our elders in the older generation. We really have so much to learn. And maybe just another amazing fact, when you look at the account of the flood, Bongi, if you read around the genealogies, you'd notice that Methuselah was still living just before Noah got into the ark, you know. So even when God was about to destroy this world by a flood, he made sure that there was someone very aged, the man who lived longest, lived up until the year of the flood. So definitely there is an object lesson there, pretty much to our generation in this day, that we really have a lot of things to do with it of those older.
Yeah, and it's so unfortunate, hey, because I think society, when you think about even things like, you know, retirement age, and you think about when those people who send, I know this is a foreign concept to the usual African child, but when you think about sending a parent to an old age home or a retirement home and things like that, it almost feels like we're sending them somewhere to be forgotten. They just put them away, that we have no further use for you. And that's so unfortunate, because like you're saying, there's such a wealth of wisdom, experience, knowledge, compassion, and, you know, so many things that we can benefit from the older generation. And this society has taught us that, no, once they get to a certain age, there's no more use for them.
Yeah. Bongi, it's as though you're actually reading my mind, because when you read the book, Welfare Ministry, page 237, I think Ellen White really speaks to that issue, whereby she indicated that it is not in God's plan that we should have homes for aged and send them there. Mm. You see, we live in a society advanced, so-called, yes. But it is definitely not in the order of God that we send our aged to. I mean, I think to be more blunt, it is more like dumping them. I don't know what term we could use. We talk of baby dumping. I'm not sure what we could. Is it aged dumping? I'm not sure. I think there's really not a word that. But of course, I know that the circumstances differ. There might be some instances whereby it can be justified. But all things being equal, it is not in the order of God that we should dump our aged at old people's homes or such things.
Yeah, and I feel like even the challenges that might come with, you know, with trying to find another way, and maybe maintaining, you know, the traditional way that we've always done it as families, and working together to take care of our parents, our elders. There are challenges that come with that, but I feel like those challenges are what also develop your own character. But our society is so much like, no, every inconvenience, and I hate to call it that, but every challenge, everything that is an inconvenience, everything that I don't enjoy, I must get rid of and find a way to just put it away. And that's unfortunate when you think that these are the people who raised us. These are the people who, you know, they are responsible for who we have become in many ways. So that's such an unfortunate thing. But in what ways do you think grandparents can actively disciple their grandchildren? They don't seem very interested in disciplining their grandchildren. So how would you define that versus discipling them?
Yeah, you and I grew up in African society whereby spanking was the way to go. In fact, the Bible actually condones that as well. But when you sit with great parents, you notice that the same things that they would spank us for, that has made us who we are, they would not spank their grandkids for. So I think it is something that we cannot deny. There's a saying in English that it goes something like grandparents are the worst parents. I think to a great extent, yes. But I think when they are coming from a knowledge of what God expects of their grandchildren, they can actually make the best of parents as well, even to grandchildren. They do have a lot of wonderful lessons to impart to our grandchildren. So I strongly feel that, grandparents can be a bit lax, but when they do have the fear of the Lord, I'm sure that they can really be very instrumental in instilling the right values even in their grandchildren.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic because even when you look at big families, you might have experienced that yourself in your family. In my I have three siblings, so there's four of us. I'm the third of four. And my older siblings always talk about how my parents used to be very, very strict. And the more kids arrived, the softer they became. And they always talk about how, know, the me and my younger sister, you know, you guys got different parents than the ones that we were raised with. talk about how they used to be super strict. And then when you go even further, a whole generation, even I myself, even though my older siblings think that my sister and I were spoiled, but when I look at how my parents treat my children, it's like, hey, really? Is this you? The things that my children get away with. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wow, really?
Really, the longer we do have our parents, we cannot deny that, Abongi, the more the things that people get away with, you know, but I'm sure it is, they always have soft spots as parents. But be it as it may, I'm sure there is more to be benefited from association with them. I mean, always a silver lining in every cloud, as they say.
Absolutely. I think it's that compassion. And also, I think part of it is them trying to stay in their lane. Like, I'm not the parent here, so I'm not the one who's going to do. I'm going to be the good guy for once. I was the tough one in your life. Now I'm going to be the good guy. You guys can be, you the parents can be the bad guy. And the
disciplinarian. In my culture, my mom, for example, she has so much respect for her daughter-in-law. The feeling is, how can I do this to the child of my son-in-law, to the child of my daughter-in-law, and I saw so much force through the cracks in so doing.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's always a silver lining in every cloud. Yeah. There is a lot that we can glean from their experiences, even for our kids.
Sure. Now, how can families strengthen bonds between generations despite changing lifestyles? I'm thinking about now in 2025, so many families are far from each other. The grandparents are in that province. The children are in that other province, or sometimes different countries, even continents. How can those relationships still be fostered and healthy while we are so, our lives are so different? Sometimes even if we are in the same town, we're so busy. The children have school, extracurricular activities, so many things to do. How can we still strengthen our bonds between generations, even though our lifestyles are so different?
It all boils down to being very deliberate and being very intentional. You know, we live in the communication era whereby the walls of partition have been broken down in terms of communication. We always have to keep in touch. Taking them in, one thing we cannot deny is that grandparents always want to live within their spaces. I often have that issue with my parents. They would always want to live around their friends, like where their spouses left them and so such things. But time and again, we need to be very intentional about hosting them and even visiting. You know, one thing I've learned is that they value it so much when you find time to visit. You send their grandkids there during the school holidays. Well, I mean, what's the worst thing that they could do? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they brought me up, then, I mean, are they going to do any harm to my kids? No way. Of course, there will always be extreme cases, but we would do well always to know that they mean well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. And like you're saying, if we know, especially if we've had a decent relationship with them, I know some people might have had difficult relationships with their parents, or maybe they don't feel safe and things like that. But we're talking about the general for that family where you know what your parents are like. You know that they're generally good people, maybe not necessarily perfect.
Yeah.
But then I think another thing that we can consider, especially like I said, when our families are so far apart, if it's not that feasible to visit every holiday or things like that, I think even simple things like having a regularly scheduled video call, maybe every Sunday night we have a call, all of us together, or things like that.
Yes.
We can have family worship once a week, all of us, not just in my household, but even the relatives across the world. We have a Zoom session where we have worship together once a week or once a month, whatever it takes, just something so that the children are not strangers around each other, the cousins are not strangers around each other. And like I said, the blessing of grandparents is one that cannot be replicated in any way. So if you can offer that blessing to your children and for the grandparents as well, like you said, they love having, it means so much to them. It's such a blessing. Like, I don't know why it's such a difficult thing for so many of us to just be intentional, like you said. Just be intentional, right?
Yeah.
And then how can churches intentionally include and value senior members, especially like as mentors, as leaders, taking advantage of all that wealth of wisdom and experience?
Yeah. During the week, I came across a discussion whereby the issue of general gaps within the church was under discussion, I think, which is a very unfortunate thing whereby the younger generation feel that they need to have their own fellowship. I mean, this actually happens with the youth. You know, in other places you do have, maybe this is at Golden Harvest Church, but you do have the younger generation. From the older generation, I think that's so much misjustice. I'm not sure if such a word exists, but it is one thing that has resulted and still results in a very terrible disconnect between two generations. We need to have a fluidity between generations, one generation learning from the other. There is a quotation that I once came across whereby Ellen White was talking of the danger of disparaging pioneers. You see, this is an effect that we're having within our churches, whereby we really feel that different generations worship different gods, but it should not be happening that way. We need to have inclusivity between the generations. Of course, once in a while, we would do well having some interactions of individuals within a certain generation, as it were.
Yeah.
But God's church stretches from Eden to Eden. We need to have some fluidity there.
Yeah.
We need to be intentional about including even those of age within our fellowship in the learning the lessons they have learned in our day, in their days. You know,
mm-hmm.
It is very, very important. Yes.
I think I like what you're saying. I understand the need for different programs to cater to different age groups, but I think it's very important, like you're saying, for us to also spend time together, because there are some situations where the division is so stark. Like we just don't mix whatsoever. The youth go there, the children, you've got your own church over there. The elders, there's your church over there. And that is because, whatever, we have different needs, different challenges, different styles of worship, different things that can, you know, different methods of reaching the different groups, right? I understand that. But I think, I feel like there was value in just worshiping together. And if it happens to be boring that day, it's no one's going to die of boredom.
Yeah, definitely.
Just spend time together, like worship together, and have that service together. I myself prefer not to send my children to kids' chapel at my church. It's not every week, so it's fine. Sometimes they go, but most of the time, I prefer that they stay here, sit here until I know that you know how to act right.
So definitely. And indeed, there is a, sorry, just on a lighter note,
sure.
There is a boredom that comes with age.
Yeah.
But like you said, no one has ever died of boredom.
Exactly.
So exactly. We can do with it once in a while.
Yeah. And there are so many lessons.
Once in a while.
There are so many lessons that you learn, even as a child. And oftentimes, I think as a child, you as parents, we think our kids will not get it. We think they won't understand these grown-up sermons or these grown-up services. They'll be bored. They won't be concentrating. They won't be listening. But they do actually pick up a few things. I say this because I was once a child, and I picked up on many things which maybe didn't make sense in the moment, but later on they did. Or they give you an opportunity to ask the grown-ups later on after church, what did the pastor mean by this? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Instead of the whole service
just being about colors and drawing and singing, which is all great, but sometimes I think
there's time for everything.
Yes, 100%.
Any
final thoughts that you'd like to share with us, my elder, with regards to?
I actually forgot to take note of the reference whereby Ellen White says the human family has scarcely begun to live when they begin to die.
Mm.
You see, I always love that. And so even ourselves in our days of youth, we are aging, and we should do unto the aged as we would want it to be done unto us when we are in our afternoon years. Which is the golden rule, you know. So I think when we relate with the aged, we should pause and ask ourselves whether this is the way we would want to be treated when we are over the hill. You know, would you want to be sent to a place whereby you would learn to live with strangers and things like that? So I think this should always be our guiding rule to do unto others as we would want to be done unto us. I think we are safe that way.
For sure. Thank you so much, Elder, for coming through. Beautiful conversation, and many blessings to your mother and all the years of wisdom that she still gets to share with you all. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Keep well. Bye-bye.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.